Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Don't be fooled. He's not in the middle of nowhere on a cruise ship this week, but Andy Griffin enjoying some time off. And today with us is Richard and Kaylee from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. I would not want to be the receptionist over there and have to keep saying that every time you answer the phone. Hello, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care.
We enjoy every call that we get, so it's great that we get that opportunity. And if you want to give us that opportunity to say that, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. That number, 435-477-6999. It is another Wellness Wednesday, and this is Elder Care Radio. And I got to say, even when the weather's bad, it is still great here.
And I wouldn't say this weather is bad. This is my favorite. I love the rain. I love the overcast. I don't love the humidity. It is true. When it's 100 degrees outside and really thick with humidity, I think, okay, this is not why I moved to St. George.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of my point is that, you know, I grew up in Oregon, in Portland, and rain was not something we looked forward to because there was plenty of it all the time.
Right.
But now here, you know, when it rains, it just makes it a different, pleasant experience in a different way. So.
Right. It did drop our temperatures a little bit. I'm grateful for that. Trying to focus on those things that are good, right?
Mm-hmm. So we got here this morning, and Jeff, who's filling in for Andy, blindsides us with this news that Andy Dow died.
Tony Dow died,
and then he was alive again. For those of you who don't know, Tony Dow was on Leave It to Beaver. He was the bigger brother, Wally, and I still watch that show on occasion, so it's more familiar with me. But the news had actually said that he passed away, and then later the news had come out and said, well, he hasn't passed away, but he's on hospice,
right.
Which we understand, and that was kind of surprising for us, that this happened, not because it's so surprising it happened, but because it became so well known. And the reality is that we realize that people have this image that hospice is
about
passing.
Dying.
Yeah, it's about dying, and it shouldn't be. Right. And it should be about living. And that's one of the main reasons we get up every Wednesday and come to the radio station to talk to people, is to get them to have a different image of what hospice can be for them and how it can be helpful. But more than just baseline hospice, which we all have an image of, but more palliative care and how that layers over the top of hospice and provides an incredibly enriched life and opportunity for people.
Which actually brings up another thought and story experience that we've had. As we all know, we have one hospital here. And recently, and this has actually happened multiple times, but recently it was brought to our attention that a family who had a mother in the hospital very specifically asked upon their discharge if they could speak with Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And they were told, no, they're just for, you know, when you're actively passing and your mom's not actively dying. So they were sent home with another company. And when they got back home, we got a phone call from the son who said, now explain this to us, because the hospital was very adamant that you were about actively passing. And while my mom's not actively passing, we've heard your show, we read your website, we heard that hospice could be a little bit different, so we want to know why we weren't allowed to talk to you. And that's always funny. You are allowed to talk to us.
Yeah,
you
do. You're always allowed to talk to us.
Yeah, you do have to kind of put your foot down once in a while, because honestly, there are so many employees at the hospital that they don't all know us. And many, many of them still are in the mindset that hospice is about passing, and it shouldn't be. With an expanded palliative program, it's about living your very best life for as long as you can live, with all the help and support that you can muster. In fact, we provide at a minimum of 3 times more of the hours, 5 times more therapies, and multiple more benefits through the expanded palliative care program. And once eligible, it's at 100% free to you.
So we are all about patient's choice, but advocating for yourself, because you're the one who has to take control of that. And regardless what you may hear from somebody, don't necessarily take that as the only set of facts out there. Be willing to go beyond that. talking to your doctor, not just about hospice or palliative care or home health, but about everything in your medical condition. Be willing to have those conversations. Be willing to understand that whoever you talk to may feel themselves an expert in the field that they're in, but that doesn't mean they know all the things that might exist in that.
They don't know what they don't know, do they?
Right. And most people in that condition, in that position, would want to know more, right? But there are those people who are intentionally incompetent. I don't want to use that word too hard, but
yeah, don't. They just already believe that they already know, so they don't need to, in their own mind, they don't need to step out and find out about this new program that is in Southern Utah. There are a lot of home health and hospice companies, so many, many people, I think particularly at the hospital, believe that they already know everything they need to know, and they don't venture past that mindset. Unfortunately, because as most of our listeners already know, when we came here around 5 years ago, we had had a different experience with my mom 15 years prior than what we, the company and or businesses we could find here in St. George when trying to seek help for my dad. So realizing that they had not implemented this program in Southern Utah, we decided we'd do it ourselves, and that's why we're here. But most people still don't really understand the difference between what you believe hospice is and what hospice can be. Hospice can be a very fulfilled benefit to you that is covered by Medicare and Medicaid and many other insurance companies. So it really is a great program, and you should know about it before you need it.
But the reasons that people may not get the answers that they're looking for on the first round, that there are so many different aspects of this. Certainly there are people who at the hospital don't know that there's a difference, right? Everything's the same. There's only that minimum Medicare standard. Everybody does that. So they may be encouraged for any reason to recommend one choice over another. And certainly the hospital would like to keep everybody within the hospital system. That's kind of where they like to be. So that's understandable. But there are people who also may not realize that you have a choice. They've never been told that the patient can make those decisions. In fact, a lot of people get offended when, not a lot of people. There are a few people, some doctors that we've heard of and talked to, that are offended that their patients are given a choice, that they aren't just doing what the doctor has said to do.
And a direct quote, "I know that Medicare allows the patient to have their own choice, but they shouldn't."
Right. And you may have that in your life and you may not. And so it's really just important for you to, no matter what the circumstance, just be your own best medical advocate. Be willing to reach out, ask the questions in every aspect so that you get better care, because there is better care available. It's not all the same. So if there's better care available, you should be finding whatever that is for you and make it what you want. And have a conversation with your doctor, because a lot of people, we've been on the radio for a little while, and we imagine that 97% of Southern Utah listens to this program every morning at 8:30, but that's only our imagination. The truth is there's a huge number of people out there that have never heard this radio broadcast, heard Pathway. And so we're still trying to get that message out, and that's going to be important.
And a totally different story, but another experience that we often have and just had on Monday is many times that belief, even of the people of the community, that hospice really is about passing, did not want to hear the word hospice, understanding that a palliative provision can be covered at 100% under your hospice benefit or 100% paid for by you, you should really understand that you can take advantage of that same palliative program, but cover it under your hospice provision, and it'll be paid for by Medicare. When you kind of understand that palliative care is very expanded and should last much, much longer than that last actively passing stage.
Can be very expansive.
Right, right.
In our view, palliative care is extremely expansive. It covers so many different aspects of what people might consider great care, but other people don't have that same perspective. So we're kind of covering a lot of things. Just because somebody uses the word palliative care, that doesn't mean they have the same understanding of palliative that you
do. Right.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that this one sweet lady, you know, she didn't want to hear the word hospice because in her mind, her mom was not passing. But when we actually explained to her that you're asking for palliative and we can provide the palliative and you have an option, you can pay for it in cash or we can put it under your hospice benefit, your mom's hospice benefit, and Medicare will pay for it. That was different. She was like, wait, the same palliative? Yes, the same palliative. The same palliative can be paid for by Medicare or paid for by you. You choose. But we are the only company that really has a clear understanding of how expanded that palliative program can be.
And let me also say that it can be paid by private insurance. Right. So if you have a private insurance instead of Medicare, those provisions are available there also. So don't think there's anything that limits you from being able to have access to it. Give us a call. Let's find out if it's available to you, if it's going to be useful for you, if it can help improve your life, if it can help make things a little bit easier for you or your loved ones, then let's have that conversation and see if we can improve those lives.
And go ahead.
And if you've got a loved one that gets to this stage of their life and you're going to take this on yourself, I know a bunch of people who thought they could just cowboy up and get through this period. And afterwards, they're going, I had no idea.
Right.
And I had no idea that services like this were available. So, you know, take advantage of what's available to you.
Right. So much stress is relieved when others pick up those burdens and help you just walk through that exercise or know how to navigate the healthcare system with you. And all this veering off topic, all because Wally of Leave It to Beaver was pronounced
declared dead by the media dead, and right. Then was, I guess, resurrected to a living state. All because, I'm guessing, and this is just my...
Somebody heard hospice.
Yeah, somebody heard the word hospice and they said, oh, that means dead.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't. And we make light of it, hopefully in order to eliminate the fear that surrounds that word. We want to eliminate that fear. Last week, we talked a little bit about the grieving process, and we realized that it's in the interaction that we have with people, it is a huge process for people to go through, and many people don't have an opportunity to go through that in a controlled or a managed circumstance. They're doing it on their own. There are opportunities, resources available if people can find it, but for you as listeners, we really think that you're probably going to have an opportunity to be that support person for somebody who has an opportunity to grieve or is going through that process.
And we're going to kind of go through some of these normal, natural responses. But if you are looking for a grief support group, we are happy to announce that they are open again and operating in person. There are still groups available that you can participate in that are online. But for those of you who are looking for the in-person community resources, the groups are up and operating again. Please feel free to call our office and we will help direct you to find the correct grief group that you're looking for. There are so many groups and resources available. Southern Utah is a wonderful place, all of Utah really. I don't think people realize the benefits that we really do have available. They certainly are not being taken advantage of as much as they could be. Feel free to give our office a call and we'll try and help you find that direction.
So last week we just broke it down that there are two generalized explanations of how people might grieve. There are people who are emotional and they are going to go through some processes differently than those people who are practical. And so today we want to cover this a little differently because the grieving process, the bereavement, mourning is complex. There's nothing simple about it, but I wouldn't want anybody to feel that they are not prepared to give aid in some way. You don't have to have the answer to the question. What you should be able to do is just be available for somebody to go through this process. And I hope that as we go through some of this today, we can kind of get you comfortable with the idea that it's not an end game. We're not looking at trying to get to the end of it. In fact, you know, we will always say there is no, you know, moving on. It's moving forward. You're never going to give up what was in the past, but we're going to be able to manage that and get control of it so that we can carry that forward for us, with us for the rest of our life. And so these are some things. This is actually called the Mourner's Bill of Rights. It was written by a doctor who had specialized in spiritual care in hospice, Alan Wolfelt. And he has, you know, he's written a few books and other things. But I think that this is extremely good in kind of defining some of the aspects of what mourning is, and hopefully eliminating some things that we think it should be, because it's not a should be for anybody. There is no straight path that everybody's going to follow. Everybody's going to be a little different. So we give people opportunities to live however they want.
Right. You have the right to define moving on for yourself, and that's important to realize. But don't be offended by people's intent to say the right thing. That's one of the I guess, complications. I believe that most people really have the right intent when they approach you about grief, and when they use the words, it's time to move on, or don't you think you should move on? I know that their intent is about helping you live your new normal life. So don't be offended by the words, but maybe you can just put it back on them and say, you know, I'm not ready to move on. I can move forward. I can bring my loved one into my new normal, but I'm just not there yet.
So as we go through these, if you have a need for this, if you know somebody who is probably going through this process, they've lost a loved one or a pet or a business or anything, that kind of grief happens, this may be useful information. And if you want a copy of this Mourner's Bill of Rights, give our office a call. We'll give you a copy. But it starts out, there are 10 of them. You know, that's what the Bill of Rights is, right? There's 10. So the first one is, you have the right to experience your own unique grief. Nobody else gets to define that for you. We all are going to grieve differently, and so it's important that you, as the grieving person, understand that nobody else gets to tell you how or when you should be doing things. Okay, you get to handle that.
No one else will grieve exactly the same way you do.
Right. Two, you have the right to talk about your grief. The problem that we have is that it's hard to find somebody to talk to sometimes, because those that you want to talk to are afraid to have that conversation because they're not going to say the right things. If you are in that situation, if you know somebody who's grieving and you're going to have that conversation, don't worry that there's a right and a wrong thing to say, because as we go through this, I think you're going to find that it's not about the things you say. It's not about the ways you try and direct it. The best you can do is listen and be supportive and helpful, and maybe help them explore options, not tell them which options they should take.
And if you are the one grieving, don't sit back and wait for somebody to approach you. Remember that it's hard for them and they're watching your cues. Be okay with saying, gosh, I just really need somebody to talk to. I want to talk about what I miss about my loved one or about what I'm going through struggling without them here. But be willing to start the conversation.
Right. And it could be that they just want to tell stories about things that you may have had some experience with or some third-hand knowledge of, and allow them to do that. And again, they may not, because this is unique. So don't think that there's any one path here. Number three, you have the right to feel a multitude of emotions. And those emotions may not make any sense. There's confusion, disorientation, fear, guilt, relief. You can actually feel relief at somebody's passing, and that's not wrong. Those are just a few of the emotions. You may feel some anger and resentment. You may feel a multitude of emotions. Every one of those is okay. They may not happen in any particular order, and they may not happen at convenient times. That doesn't matter.
Don't take the judgmental responses to heart. Instead, find listeners who will accept your feelings without condition.
Right. So, number four. You have the right to be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits.
Absolutely.
So if you're not ready to go out and meet new people, then don't go out and meet new people. Don't don't think that that's an obligation.
And if you are ready, that's okay too. Don't feel judged that maybe there's this certain period of time that you're supposed to sit in mourning before you meet other people. Many, many people overcome their grief by finding others to fill that void and to spend just emotional happy times. Somebody to, you know, go to lunch with, to go fishing with, to go on vacations with. It's okay. You move on when you're ready to move on, not when others tell you it's time.
Well, and from our own experience, I think my wife will admit that when her mother first passed, she did not have as much of a grieving process or problem as she did a couple of years later.
Right.
I mean, it took a little time for that to really sink in and lose that support and comfort in the beginning that she got, and then have to face the world on her own. And so if you are in that situation where, you know, you've had a loved one pass and you now are feeling lonely, it's not a problem. It's not wrong to want to spend time with people and look for that in any way that you can, realizing that maybe later, and this is why you still have the rights to grieve, you may find later that you have to go through a grieving process.
Right. Everybody in their own time. I think it's an important principle to remember that we do all grieve differently and at different times. There are different things that will trigger emotions. It might be a birthday, but it might be the Christmas season for mm-hmm. you. If filling your life with loved ones or friends, or maybe it's solitude and being alone, is what you need to get through that, it's okay to be your own individual and to grieve your own way. Just express that to others so that they can be respectful and understanding of it. Often we start these conversations with people and they think that they need to help us distract us from our grief, and they don't. We need to be responsive and respectful to each other.
Well, and that grief burst concern that is out there, that doesn't necessarily happen only within the first 60 days or 6 months or 1 year or 3 years. It could be 7, 8, 9 years later that all of a sudden you've got an event that happens that you are, you know, you can't process, and you show those emotions again, and that's okay. That is part of moving forward and carrying that memory of your loved one with you. We're not compartmentalizing and putting them in a box in a closet to never be opened again. They're gonna show up in our lives and have an impact, and we should actually celebrate those events, which uncomfortable as they may be.
Brings us up to 6. You have the right to make use of a ritual. The funeral ritual does more than acknowledge the death of someone that you loved. It helps provide you with the support of caring people. Many of us now are moving, instead of the grieving eulogy, to a celebration of life. Others are postponing the funeral from immediately after death until a later time when everybody can get together and perhaps celebrate as they spread ashes or the body's already buried, but they come out to the cemetery and celebrate later when the time's convenient. And there's no right or wrong.
Yeah, there are no wrong choices here. You may feel that somebody else is making a different decision than you would, but that's okay.
That's what makes the world go round.
And that's how people are going to work with it. But we also don't want to suppress the idea of ritual, saying, well, no, we don't need to have that funeral, because some people need some opportunity to have that last opportunity to share those events and circumstances with the public, in a large forum, and that may be right away or later. So be available for that. If you're helping somebody through this process, just always be available to share those times. You have the right to embrace your spirituality. And that can be on either side.
Right. Of the faith may be a part of your life, but it may not, and that too is okay.
And you shouldn't deny anything. Explore it. If there are new concerns or new potential situations that have you question your own understanding, don't try and suppress that. Explore that. Find out. If you haven't been spiritual, and spirituality now sounds like maybe there's a reason for it, but it can't, because logically I'd already decided that it can't. Don't limit yourself.
Seek it out.
You may come back to the same conclusion you had before, but at least you'll be better informed because you'll do that. So those are some important things. You have a right to search for meaning. that there is real meaning in our life here on Earth and the process that we go through, the interactions that we have. And so have that opportunity to search through that. Ask the questions. Why did it happen? What could have been done to prevent it? But don't take responsibility for it, because chances are there's nothing you could have done differently, or even if you did something different, it wouldn't have changed the outcome. But don't think you have to shut anything away. Feel free to explore these emotions. And for men, I think it's going to be a little harder to admit to this, or to be willing to embrace the idea of, and I probably shouldn't say just men, there are a lot of people in every aspect, but we've all been, you know, indoctrinated into the, you know, don't show it unless it's just anger. But this is your opportunity to kind of explore and learn a little bit more about yourself. So you have a right to treasure your memories. And I think this one is kind of obvious, but it's important to be stated that we have this opportunity to actually spend time reviewing those memories, going through pictures and having those thoughts and experiences again. Maybe rework those into something where you can share, writing a journal or something else. So that's great.
Memories are an important part of our grieving process. Don't tuck them away. But one thing that I think is really, really important, and I'm not exactly sure where this fits best, but don't live with regret. In the end, our past doesn't matter. Our future and what we do with our living future is really what matters and what will make the difference. Just don't live with regret.
And number 10, you have the right to move toward your grief and healing. That means it's going to take, just reconcile yourself to the fact that it's going to take a while. Don't think that you're going to jump through all this and be superhuman about it.
Right.
Be willing to just accept the process and be part of it.
Right.
And have it happen to you. Don't try and control it.
And try and avoid people who are intolerant of you. Be tolerant of yourself.
We really appreciate this opportunity to talk today, and we hope that we can help.